Amen. Well, greetings. You can be seated. As we venture into today's topic of Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and although it recognizes Roe versus Wade and the importance of taking a stand of ending life, I want to address the whole realm of life today and how important it is and how precious and holy our lives are. But before we get there, let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, gracious King, loving, merciful, creative, you have set so much into place to show your mighty hand, the way you have set the stars in the universe, aligning the planets, arranging the universe, building your kingdom, sending your Son, including us, loving us, allowing us to have life. Father, what a beautiful story that unfolds of just how compassionate and loving you are towards us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to understand these words of Paul to the Corinthians in just how much you truly love us. We thank you, Father, for one of the gifts that you do give us, and that is you're willing to hear from us, not only our own concerns, but a word we use called intercession. You willingly and lovingly take our prayers on behalf of others. So we do pray for those who suffer, who are challenged with their health, those who are battling still this COVID. We pray for those who are suffering and having bad reactions to the vaccine. We pray for our leadership. What a powerful week this will be for our country. We place that by faith in your hands, Father, that what you allow to be is of your will to use and to teach us and to show us something that we need to be doing. Help us not to miss those lessons. So, Father, that we are truly your ambassadors and that we will stand and be people of faith that will help others through the confusion, the various emotions throughout this next coming week, that the love of Christ through us will compel them with a desire to come to the throne of grace, to the cross of Jesus. Thank you for entrusting us with that message. Father, for those that are in our care centers, our missionaries, for Lakes Area Pregnancy Support, that we're so thankful for the godly example of those who head this organization to bring to our attention the need to help those who struggle with keeping their baby and to keep the pregnancy. So continue to help us to help them, bless them as they bring your message of life as well. Help us this hour. Help us with this message that we will learn from Paul to the Corinthians about this wonderful thing, this wonderful gift called life. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing I enjoy about Paul, who wrote this, Paul, as well as Peter, those two gentlemen, they could put about $1 million worth of words into like two sentences. So they are really unique writers. You'll see, just in two short verses, we'll have a lot to cover. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I'm reading from the New King James. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It hangs on my wall, and you are more than happy to take a peek in my office. You're always welcome in my office. You don't have to even knock. You just come on in, and on the wall is a frame picture that Jennifer had given me, oh my gosh, years ago. This is even hung on many walls in the chapel offices throughout my career there. But it just simply says the following. It says, just think. You're not here by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing that His grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill His special purpose for this generation. I think that is so powerful in determining just how important it is that we exist. Life has meaning. Life has purpose. Life has value. And as we'll learn today, it is sacred and it is holy. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Life is God-breathed. Therefore, life is holy. That's why the message has that funny-looking title. That is Sanctum Vitae. It's Latin. It means life is holy. Our lives are holy because they are formed by a holy creator, our holy God. I see two ways. First, we are created, formed, designed, handcrafted, even our life determined by God Himself. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. For you, that's God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. And then secondly, not only we are created by a holy God, but this holy God made us in His image. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. So that's the good news for us today, is that we, as created beings of a holy God, can rejoice knowing that our Heavenly Father's detailed oversight of our existence instills within each and every one of us a purpose, a hope, and a reason for existing. Not only a hope for who we are, but realizing whose we are. This gives us confidence to declare that, yes, many churches will declare this very clearly. The beginning of life and the ending of life, those are strictly God-given boundaries of all human existence. It belongs to Him and Him alone. Our life, no matter what others have said about it or what we think currently, our life belongs to God who grants us such a life. Therefore, we are equally bound to honor and to respect the sacredness of everyone's life. Everyone is created by the same God and the same Father. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He's planned for us. Isn't that amazing? He planned it all along. Not only just to have you created, but to have a purpose and a reason for being here. God allowed our creation in order to express His love to us. Isn't that amazing? Beyond the talents and the gifts and the calling that He has on your life, that the whole reason you're here is just simply to have you to love. Doesn't that just blow you away that the reason I exist is for Him to love, to have someone to love? We are created as a special object of God's love. Our God made us on purpose for a specific reason. And that's why human life has profound meaning. That's why we can say life is holy. It is of value. And this is why all forms of sinfulness against our existence is really such a horrific tragedy. You know, we as humans, let's just, no matter how large our ego may be, we have to admit, as mere humans, we really have no right whatsoever to decide what becomes of a life that God created. We must not lord over who gets to live and who dies. The church has always made it very clear. We have the book of discipline. I'd be happy to show you where. But the Bible, as far as the church, we've always made it clear that we stand with God, our Creator. When challenges arise concerning those very hard subjects, like the taking of life, the ending of life, preventing life, and even to today, things that we would probably never even thought of considering back 10 years ago, engineering life and altering life. But we also have to think of this from an individual point, because this also includes you as an individual. That means disparaging yourself. That means bullying and downplaying your abilities and thinking low of yourself. Those things are just as important to address as these other issues. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 to 16, also 19 through 20, it says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live. I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. But now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice. Hold fast to Him, for the Lord is your life." The respect for human life has always gone both ways, hasn't it? We must learn to have a healthy respect for our own life, as well as an unconditional respect for everyone else. Because that's the two greatest commandments of all, isn't it? We always get the love the Lord your God. We kind of understand, yes, love your neighbor. But then it's that third piece that we kind of stumble over. How do you love your neighbor? As yourself. Learning to love yourself and who God has created you to be. Loving yourself with how God formed you, with gifts, talents, personalities, all the things He's given you for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. And not disparaging those qualities in you. Because disparaging yourself is in some way mocking God for how He chose to design and create us. So we have to be very careful in our own personal viewpoint of who we are, as just as others. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. It was Jesus who answered him, "The first of all the commandments is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And here we go. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's just the first commandment. And then we realize the second is this: loving your neighbor as yourself. And between those three things, there are no other commandments greater than these. God created us for himself. And he loves us all fully, unconditionally, equally. He wishes all to be in a loving and personal relationship with him. That's all people. And all that ugliness and hatefulness we've been seeing on TV, he loves us all, doesn't he? Doesn't matter what we do, it's who we are, created in his image, his creation. We love them all. It's his desire that they would stop all that ugliness and hatefulness and come to know how much he truly loves them, because he tells us that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So despite what becomes of us due to getting caught up in the decisions and sinfulness of others, or if rather what we do is of our own choice, what we need to understand today in the value of human life to God is that there is absolutely, positively nothing in our human ability to disrupt the plan God has for us. Don't mean to hurt your feelings, but there's really nothing you can do to outpower the powerfulness of God. He's always one ahead of you. There's nothing we can do to change God's plan for creating you. And I believe this is why it's extremely important for us to understand that's just how sacred life is and how great the value is that has been placed upon you for allowing you and for having you created and in this world today. Our scripture passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 helps us understand basically the reality of the value that God has placed upon us. The words contained in this passage is really written, if you look at this is where kind of you get into the grammar part of it, which a lot of people don't like to go that deep, but what it's really saying is these words are written in the form of a command. So it's interesting that what Paul is trying to help us understand is the reality of just how valuable you are. The words contained in this passage is a command to be upheld, that the sanctity of life is holy, and that your life is that valuable. If you look at verse 19, as right off the bat, Paul uses the word temple. He says, your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word Paul used here for temple actually means sacred shrine. It also means sanctuary. Isn't that neat? Because what do we normally call this room that we gather? The sanctuary, right? The one I like is place where deity dwells. That's pretty neat. Just to think that you as a human being are a temple, a sanctuary, a place where deity can dwell, that as we go about our day, the Spirit of God is dwelling with us. That is pretty powerful. This word temple speaks of dignity. It speaks of value and worth of all of us. Every single human being living today or that has ever lived or will be here eventually as a newborn, all of us have an eternal value. So that's what Paul is trying to tell us in Corinthians, is we need to realize that our bodies are spiritual temples, sanctuaries, as even Jesus himself said so He even referred to himself as such. John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. What I find unique about it is the declaration kind of comes in a little testy, some attitude going on. And Jesus kind of gets up in the face of the religious leaders. And he says, "All right." This is the New Living Translation. I kind of like it. It's a little more true to the tone of voice. "All right," Jesus replied, "you go ahead. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." "What?" they exclaimed. "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But when Jesus said, "this temple," he meant his own body. Even Jesus knew that this creation that God made of you was a temple, a sanctuary, a place for which deity could dwell. Because this is where we also step away from the Bible, get in our time machine and go back to the time of Jesus. Look at this historically. The Jewish people always regarded the temple as a very special and sacred place where the Holy Spirit would reside. And once they knew that the Holy Spirit was there, then they knew that that particular temple belonged to God. Isn't that amazing? So you know for sure, having the Holy Spirit reside in you, it's testimony that you belong to God. I like what Paul said in verses 19 to 20. He says, just to kind of drive that theme home, he says, "You are not only a temple, but you're not your own. You were bought with a price." What Paul is saying in kind of English terms, he's basically saying, you've been bought and paid for. You no longer belong to yourself. You have a new master, a new owner, and it's your Holy Father who created you. We belong to God. And not only did he make us, but he redeemed us through his son, Jesus. Jesus Christ died to save not only just part of you, but the whole of you, body and soul. To think that Jesus shed his blood, gave his life, so that he would not only redeem my soul, but restore my body that he created, so that when I walk into heaven's kingdom and I cross that threshold, my restored body back to the way he originally intended it to be. And because of this, that's why we have to lower the ego and the attitude, as I would say, and just finally realize, I belong to God 100%. I am no longer my own. In other words, we are no longer our own to do with our body as we like or please. They belong to Jesus. They were bought and paid for with his blood. We must use them not for the satisfaction of our own desires, our own ways of thinking, but for the sole glory of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I like the New Living Translation. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." The great fact, I believe, of hearing those few words there in Romans is the fact of the Christian faith is not that my freedom allows me to sin even more, but that it makes me free to sin even less or not to sin at all. Because it's so easy to let this world convince us that we don't have to try awful hard. That's the way of the world. God says you need to try pretty hard. to stay holy and to stay complete in my will. It's easy to allow our attitudes, the influence of the world's standards, our habits, our lifestyle choices, we sometimes allow those things to fully control who we are or to make us think what we are. But with Jesus Christ and his shed blood for us, if you will become his child through faith, you will find that you will have a new understanding of spiritual strength to take control of all those things, all those sinful things that try to disgrace us, damage us, or even destroy and dismantle those temples, those sanctuaries. That is, you physically and spiritually. So this is why we must never, ever overlook a very important statement that Paul makes here in verse 19 when he says that we need to finally get it through once and for all. You are not your own. You don't belong to you. The undeniable truth is that every aspect of life of a believer belongs to God. Nothing we have is ours to have and to do with as we please. All of life, all that he gives us, all that he provides to us is to be technically shared and to be given and to be appreciated and to be honored. All of it, life, belongs to God, and it's ultimately God's will and work that is to be accomplished in our life. That's why it's a daily surrender, isn't it? It's a daily sacrifice to choose that I'm going to live God's way, surrendering to our selfish control over the direction that we want to go, the directions and the will that we have for ourselves. Romans chapter 14, verse 8. If we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We find identity, purpose, meaning. It's all through a surrendered and loving relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you truly want to know why you're here and why you exist, go to Christ. Go to Jesus. Surrender through his blood, through faith. That is where we find such purpose, such direction, where to go in life, what to do with our talents, what to do with our abilities and gifts. It all comes through the blood of Christ first, and we must surrender to him. It's imperative that we live in such a way that all we do is void of ourself so that we can bring glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. And one of the best ways I think I can summarize all of this is simply the last words. It's one of the most blessed hymns called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. If you look at that fifth verse, the last statement of the last verse says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Powerful words, isn't it? Sanctum vitae. Life is holy. And we recognize today that not only is human life of the word sanctity, but it's like you see on your insert. It's worth it when you have Christ helping you understand just how holy and how much value your life truly possesses. We need to recognize the sanctity of human life, because if we just look at the word sanctity, it means sacred. It means holy. Also, we can add the word precious to that. We need to know those three words. It's sanctified because we always honor God by upholding and protecting the high value of life. We defend such life because we understand the heavy price paid for that life, the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, All you need to do is think of John 3:16 and 17, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Yes, because of Jesus, life matters, doesn't it? Because of Jesus, right there, because of Jesus, my goodness, it is worth it, isn't it? Because of Jesus, we can have a much greater life simply because we know of the value of the holiness and the great price that was paid in order to have such understanding of life. So may we protect life in all its stages. We know the obvious ones, the unborn, the elderly, and the handicapped. But we also need to know those social principles, those other areas. We need to take a godly stance towards those social issues like capital punishment and euthanasia. And even today, who would ever thought? Genetic engineering? My goodness, where are we going next? But life matters. Life is truly sanctum vitae, isn't it? Holy. Because a holy God created it. A holy God breathed holy breath into that life. So we choose life, don't we? It is holy. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the life you gave us. Life for every single one of us. We can confess as humans it may not have been absolutely perfect. We all struggle with things. We all have things in our past, whether that's by others or by circumstances. We confess today that some of those things have hurt us. Some of those things changed the direction of our life. Some of those things changed our life to the point it seems there is no going back. But Father, even those things are not powerful enough for you to hold your calling on us for the reason you created us in the first place. Fallible, sinful human beings are not powerful enough to disrupt what you created. So Father, we own our past, we give it to you, and ask us from this day forward to choose life, to accept the value of our creation, of our own life, so that we may move forward, love our neighbor, love those who may not particularly seem lovable at this moment, so that we can love each other to move closer to your Son, Jesus. Help us, Father, to surrender our earthly value to a heavenly value, because you created us on purpose. Thank you, Father, for life. In Jesus' name, amen.